The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Saturday night on ABC, the Big Ten kicks off the schedule this weekend. Jim Harbaugh leading number 18 Michigan on the road against number 21 Minnesota in the battle for the Little Brown Jug. It's Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern. It's on ABC and on the ESPN app. And as a proud alum of a Big Ten institution, I'm thrilled and excited to see Big Ten football coming back this weekend. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios and get up, coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase Greeny Graziano, a cast of, well, at least three, talking football this morning. And we're getting up on this Monday with a beatdown, leaving only one question about them Cowboys. Stephen A. in this hour, looking back, then, one if by land, the Chiefs chewing up the clock and the Bills. Now they add another weapon to the ground game. How is anyone going to stop this? Plus, add another finger for the Packers' performance. Swagoo will tell you which finger might best describe the way they play as we get up with you starting right now in our game of the night. Monday Night Football last night, Cowboys hosting the Cardinals. First game, no Dak. Entering the game, Cowboys have allowed 60 points off turnovers. Let's call that foreshadowing. First quarter and there's no score, and it's Andy Dalton, and he's in trouble, and he's going to shovel it to Zeke Elliott, and now the trouble begins. Ball knocked out by Buda Baker. Jordan Phillips there on the recovery. Take a close look. Swagoo can't even stand to watch as that ball not protected by Zeke, and out it goes, and the Cardinals take advantage because, of course, they do. Fourth and one, Kyler Murray. Why give it to anyone else when you can just do this, keeping the drive alive? And two plays later, second and goal. The big popular play in the NFL is the little flip, the forward flip to Christian Kirk. And look at the speed to the edge. Cardinals, a 7-0 lead to the dismay of Cowboy fans and Swagoo, ensuing Cowboys possession. Well, the one thing Zeke won't do is fumble again. Oh, yes, he will. This time it's recovered by Byron Murphy. Zeke Elliott, 12 carries last night, 49 yards and two fumbles, his fourth lost fumble of the season. He had only lost five fumbles in the first 4 years of his career. It's just what the Cowboys couldn't handle. And the Cardinals take advantage again. First and 10 at the 17. Murray keeps it. Murray down by the goal line. Rule him down on the one. Kenyon Drake would take it in from there on the next play. 14-0 Arizona. Under 5 minutes to go now. Cardinals with the ball at their own 20. Oh, don't watch this one, Swagoo. You don't want to see this. Kyler Murray airing it out for Christian Kirk. That's an 80-yard touchdown. Murray had just 9 completions on the night, but that's a big one, and the Cardinals are up 21-0. Now you're really going to hate this, Swagoo. Closing seconds of the half. Cowboys looking for a touchdown and momentum, and Michael Gallup has it go right through his hands. They would settle for a field goal, so it's 21-3 in favor of Arizona at halftime. Cowboys' first drive of the third quarter, down 21-3. Here's Andy Dalton back to throw, and here's a routine completion to Dre Kirkpatrick. Trouble is, he plays on the other team. You ask yourself, why is he the only person in the area? Well, there's actually a good answer for this. Watch as he just throws CeeDee Lamb straight down. No flag, no call, no problem Arizona. Cowboys' third turnover of the game leads to this. Cardinal possession, first and goal from the one. Kyler Murray takes it in again, and the blowout was on. 38-10, the final score. Arizona with a huge win, and the Cowboys a disaster on Monday Night Football.
I didn't coach very well. I have a continuing issue with ball security on my football team. Something I personally take a lot of pride in how it reflects how you play the game of football, and I'm not getting that done right now.
I'm just going to keep saying it over and over. I mean, I started the game out with 2 fumbles, gave the ball away, and that gave them all the momentum that they needed to go and take off. I'm sorry, and this one's on me, and I need to be better for this team.
All right, so we've talked about this game this morning, and we've got Stephen A. Smith coming in here in a half an hour, but Marcus Spears, I'm coming right to you because it feels to me like the big question we didn't get answered in our first conversation this morning was this. How much of what we saw last night was about Dak Prescott not being there, in your opinion, Marcus Spears?
Gee, it was a lot. It wouldn't have been that bad with Dak playing quarterback. Now, I don't know if Dallas would have won the game, obviously, but we've seen them turn the ball over early in games and still have opportunities to win. We saw Cleveland take a lead and Dak and his heroics and putting the ball where it needed to be, and Atlanta obviously winning that game, but being able to use his legs and come back, making basically being Superman, right? Like, this is a part of what the recipe has been for Dallas. And there was a significant drop-off with Andy Dalton. Michael Gallup missed a touchdown after I said he might be the best wide receiver on the roster. There were miscommunications up front. There's no one on this offensive line that the Dallas Cowboys planned on playing this year, let alone a game this year. So when you look at this thing in totality, Dak Prescott has been making up for a lot of this that's been there already. It's been masked. Zeke has already fumbled this season. Dak turned the ball over, but they were able to overcome those things by what he was doing. And look, if you can't look at last night and clearly see what Dak Prescott means to this football team, and not only how good he is in this league in comparison to the guys that are around him, you are blind, and you don't want to admit that that guy is as important to the Cowboys as anything they've tried to do over the last 3 years.
That's a particularly poignant statement with those glasses on. So, Jeff Saturday, let me come to you on that, because you were making the point earlier that that offensive line, and no one would know this better than you, looked so bad last night that in your view, maybe it doesn't make any difference who the quarterback is.
Yeah, just Swagoo's point, Superman couldn't have won last night at quarterback. I mean, I don't care how good Dak Prescott is. This offensive line is an absolute travesty. I mean, you're seeing guys run by. It's like Subway Turnstile. I mean, they are ripping through. Andy Dalton had absolutely no chance to make plays. And then when he does get a little chance, he's so freaked out that he finally has some time. He don't know where to go with the ball. You got your best player on offense fumbling around. Everybody looks bad. This thing is as out of control as possible from the offensive standpoint. And listen, whether Dak Prescott was at quarterback or not last night, it makes no difference, because it doesn't change the guy's blocking form, and that matters. And I know we always talk about quarterbacks, receivers, running backs. That's what we always talk about. The bottom line is, teams that win at every level in football, offense and defensive line, win games. And this Cowboys offensive line, they ain't going to win games. And it's going to continue to look the way it did. And I don't care. Andy Dalton, you can put it all on his feet. He didn't play a great game. One interception wasn't his fault. We saw it. But at the end of the day, Dak Prescott didn't win that game either, the way this offensive line is playing.
And Greg, pick up on that thought if you were. I know you have some tape on that offensive line and just how bad it was last night.
Yeah, and it wasn't as much about the execution. It was about the communication, which is just day one stuff. So let's take a peek at it. I mean, this is a protection here where you have five guys that you're responsible for in blocking. You also have five blockers, your running backs, and man-to-man with the Will linebacker. The right guard and the center have to see that Buda Baker's in the protection scheme. Like, they have to figure out a way to come and get that guy. There's five guys rushing. You can't have the fifth guy make the sack. And then on this play, it's just awful. You have four defenders left at the center. You have a three-man side. You cannot run stretch zone to four defenders on that side. It's numbers and it's leverage. They lose in both. So this was a scenario where it was a lot about the pre-snap recognition. You could clearly see that Andy Dalton and the center and the offensive line as a whole were not on the same page. But it doesn't matter if Dak was under center. I don't care if you have Joe Montana under center. It will not matter if your offensive line doesn't know who to account for and doesn't take the proper angles to get things played the way it's supposed to be played. So it was a bad look, really, from the offensive line from start to finish last night.
That said, Graziano is my insider. Is there any way to get a sense of whether Dak Prescott's agent was sitting there watching that game last night with his feet up and a cigar and a bottle of champagne, counting all the money that was rolling in? Because the one thing they have been doing is scoring points, and last night they scored 10.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's how he's been watching every Cowboys game for the last couple of years. Dak's going to make his money. The key thing that's going to determine what Dak makes is the top end of the quarterback market. What I look at is, can they really franchise him at $37.7 million next year if they have all these other holes to fill? They're going to have to be spending money on other positions. Defense, offensive line, there's a lot to deal with. Greg McElroy, I do have one question. Why wouldn't the quarterback – be in sync with that offensive line. They're all backups. That's who he's been practicing with.
Yeah. So it's been that kind of bad. We'll have much more on this as we go. And Marcus, I just want you to get a sense of what you're in store for. Because in 20 minutes, Stephen A. Smith is going to join us, and he's ready for you. He tweeted, "Oh, hell no, Marcus. Put them glasses back on when you're talking about the Cowboys like you promised at the start of Get Up, and stop cussing, Pastor. You brought this on yourself," and he's laughing, and he's ready. Stephen A. is ready for
devil.
Swagoo, and we will unite them
devil,
in 20 minutes live right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, as we continue, the Chiefs pounding the Bills in a way that nobody saw coming. Is there any way to stop them now? We'll answer that question next. Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up. Not one, but two Monday night games last night. Bills-Chiefs was the early matchup. Both teams 4-1, both coming off losses. First quarter, Chiefs down 3-0, and there goes that man. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. What a night it was for the rookie out of LSU. That's 31 yards there. Then later in the drive, Patrick Mahomes finding his favorite target, Travis Kelce, in for his first touchdown of the night. Chiefs up 7-3. Second quarter, still 7-3, but the Bills are moving behind Josh Allen, who had a quiet night. First and goal at the 4. Allen's favorite target is Stephon Diggs, and here's why. Wait till you see the body control. Let me show you this again. Look at Diggs somehow keeping both feet inbounds and making that catch for the score. Bills up 10-7. But then it was just too much Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He would run for 161 yards. And look at him here finishing off with some burst. Brian Clark always says he's not small, he's just short. And he was spectacular last night. Then third down, it's Mahomes again, it's Kelce again. That's 24 touchdowns, Mahomes to Kelce, since 2018, most of any duo in that span. They missed the kick, so it's 13-10. Third quarter, that's still the score. Third down at the Buffalo 17. Here's the play they're talking about. Mahomes running forward. Mahomes running backward. Mahomes, now what's he doing? He's diving for the first down. He's just short. Andy Reid wants a measurement. They won't give him one. He's mad, but he won't be after the next play because they go for it on fourth and inches, and Darrell Williams takes it to the house. Chiefs' first game with 200 rushing yards since 2016. In all, they ran it 46 times last night, most ever under Andy Reid. So they're up 23-10. Fourth quarter, Bills trying to fight back. Cole Beasley, touchdown to one possession game, 23-17. Chiefs get it back, looking to run clock. Third and 12. Take a look at how easy Patrick Mahomes makes this play look. Fires it 37 yards to Byron Pringle. Chiefs kick a field goal, so it's a two-score game, 26-17. Last gasp for the Bills. Josh Allen would throw for a season-low 122 yards. That interception seals it. Actually, a great pick by Daniel Sorensen. Mahomes, 21 of 26, 225 yards, and two touchdowns on the night for him. In all, the Kansas City Chiefs doing it a little bit off script with a dominating win over the Bills. Again, they ran the football, and that means I have to start with the offensive linemen. Jeff, I know that you were impressed with the way they ran the ball last night, and in particular, the way they took advantage of what the Bills were offering.
Yeah, impressed is an understatement, Greeny. A little tear came out of my eyes as I was watching that game because we finally got back to some real football. And I'll show you what I'm talking about the distance from linebacker to the offensive line. They're 7 yards deep. Look, 7, 8 yards deep, flat-footed. As an offensive lineman, what does that tell you? I can stay on my double teams longer and then get to the second level later. That makes it very difficult for the front four to have any action or the linebackers to make plays. And here's the problem. The Chiefs, they want to be sprinters, Greeny. They want to go run that sprint. Well, teams are making them go run the mile. They don't like it. I don't care what Andy Reid says, what Mahomes says in his postgame. We'll win however. They want to go throw that thing around. They want to sprint to some touchdowns. It's hard for them to stay in phase, but they did an excellent job yesterday. 46 runs of just taking what the defense gave them. As ugly as everybody else thought it was, I appreciated that game that much more because this is how defenses are going to force Kansas City to play, and they showed you in a big game, in big moments, they're willing to do it and stay patient. Really well done by the Kansas City Chiefs.
So, Marcus, let's pick up that thought there. Despite the fact that, obviously, they lose the game and they give up the 200 and almost 50 yards rushing, is that still the right formula? The Chiefs are going to get Le'Veon Bell now, so they're going to get even more dangerous. Was that, generally speaking, force them to run it and be patient? Is that still the formula in your mind for playing defense against Kansas City?
Yeah, G, you got to cover down, man. Look, Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback against the blitz than he is against the coverage that you're seeing him deal with for the majority of this season. The issue is this, right? When the run game gets going, you have to be able to stop this run game with less guys in the box. And New England was able to do that because they play a 3-4 front, and I don't want to get too into the weeds of the X's and O's, but it's a two-gap system where the defensive lineman actually plays the gap to their left and their right, and they do a tremendous job because they've been playing it for such a long time. And Belichick obviously is putting that puzzle together, and those guys were able to execute and take away some of that run game and make Patrick Mahomes throw the ball underneath, over and over and over again. The bottom line is this. You will be with less guys in the box when Kansas City is trying to run. And if you cannot stop them those guys, you will not beat this team or stop them offensively.
Greg McElroy, what did you see?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
It's a simple game of numbers, and these guys have hit the nail on the head. The depth of the linebackers, but more importantly, the depth of both safeties. Both safeties. If you see two safeties back, they are inviting you to run the football. Inviting you. And guess what? The Chiefs are now willing to do it. To do it last night against a pretty decent front seven for the Buffalo Bills was really remarkable. They ran for 245 yards. The most yards they ever ran for in a game that was started by Patrick Mahomes was 198. They're 25% north of that number. So their willingness to at least put it in the hands of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and in time, Le'Veon Bell makes this offense truly dynamic. And if you think Sammy Watkins not out there too, you add another weapon to the mix with all the speed they have and the dynamic nature of Travis Kelce, and the matchup nightmare that is Le'Veon Bell and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, plus their willingness to run it downhill. I just don't know how you stop them. Pick your poison, and you're going to pick wrong regardless of what you do defensively.
I've been saying it for years.
Gee, one great last team thing. Is the,
yeah, go ahead, Marcus, real quick.
Think about how smart Veach and Andy Reid were in this draft. They knew that they were going to have to do this at some point during the year. That's the example of a franchise and two guys being on the same page when you talk about a GM and a head coach identifying what was coming and what they needed to do in order to combat that.
And they sure did it last night. I'll take a break on that thought real quick. Coming up, much more on the Cowboys. They're in first place. Is there a rule that might have to be changed because of it? We'll explain. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Well, back on Get Up, and game one of the World Series is tonight. You'll hear every pitch on ESPN Radio, and the first pitches will be thrown by Clayton Kershaw and Tyler Glasnow, who are set to go in the game one tonight. Again, Dodgers and Rays getting set to go head-to-head. And if you're wondering who at least one member of our staff is rooting for, that is a picture of Greg McElroy. He's the child in that photo at Dodgers Stadium. Greg, tell me about this picture.
Yeah, so that is 1990 Father's Day at Dodger Stadium. I saw the first World Series game I ever saw was in 1998. That was game one where Kirk Gibson hit the walk-off home run. I was 3 months old. So I have not seen my Dodgers win a World Series in my lifetime. This is the year. We're talking about a guy that at 6 years old, Greeny, got drafted in the Pee Wee draft, Little League draft, by the Baltimore Orioles, and refused to play because I would only play for the Dodgers. So hoping that Kershaw, my guy from Dallas, can get it done for us tonight.
I love it. Stephen A. Smith on his way in studio next. How about them Cowboys on ESPN?
Remember that National Vote Early Day is October 24th. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
If you were just joining us on Get Up, this is what it looked like last night, Monday Night Football, Cowboys, Cardinals, first quarter, no score. Andy Dalton under pressure, so why not? Dump it off to Zeke Elliott, seems like a good idea, until that happens. Zeke Elliott, it's knocked away by Buda Baker, Jordan Phillips will fall on it. You see Zeke not tucking it away. That would lead to Arizona's first touchdown of the night. Then the next Cowboys drive. Second play of the drive, Zeke Elliott loses another fumble. This one is recovered by Byron Murphy. Take a look. It's Phillips who actually knocks it out of his hands. This time leads to another Arizona touchdown. So two Cowboy turnovers, two Cardinal touchdowns. Zeke Elliott killing his team early. Then in the fourth quarter, Cowboys trailing 28-3, looking for something in the red zone. And that is Andy Dalton picked off by Baker. Dalton would get picked off multiple times last night. And so the Dallas Cowboys get absolutely waxed at home on Monday Night Football. And here to discuss it with us this morning is the one, the only, Stephen A. Smith. With an entrance only he.
You know. What's going on, Greeny? How you doing, my brother? How you doing, my brother? I saw somebody wearing shades this morning with Swaggoo. Where's Swaggoo at?
He had them up there. Yeah.
What's going on, Swag?
Marcus?
What's up, big dog? What's up, man?
What's going on, Green? How you doing? How y'all doing?
You're both wearing sunglasses, but they're very different glasses, and they seem to have a very different vibe.
Well, what the vibe that Marcus Spears wants to give you is the vibe of a loser, somebody that recognizes the fact that it's hopeless. That black cat is running around everywhere. He don't know what to do about it. He's been trying for years to get rid of it. He wore the uniform. That didn't work. He left the industry. That didn't work. He came into this industry to talk about it. That hasn't worked. No matter what Swaggoo does, all he has to lean on is LSU. Ain't that something special? I think he played about 9 years in the NFL, if I remember correctly. Swaggoo, Marcus Spears, the great Marcus Spears, doing a fabulous job on NFL Live, by the way. I must say that.
Yeah.
But this guy right there, you would think that if you got 9 years to reflect on a career, you don't have to revert back to what you did in college, because that's what he has to do. He has to bring up LSU and those Tigers from last year, of course, not this year, from last year, because that's how bad things are. But now we get to these Cowboys. I just would like to ask a rhetorical question, just a rhetorical question.
Yes.
hell somebody win a game against you completing 9 passes? I mean, 9 passes? 9 passes. Meanwhile, back at the ranch in Arlington, Texas, you got a backup quarterback by the name of Andy Dalton, threw the ball 54 times and still couldn't pass for 300 yards. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. Can't make this stuff up. Ezekiel Elliott, sure-handed, fumbled more, lost more fumbles this year, almost more as many fumbles this year as he has his entire career. His entire career, Michael Gallup dropping passes. We ain't heard from CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper, probably because of the quarterback situation. And poor Jerry Jones, my buddy Jerry Jones. My heart goes out to you, sir. I really, really am sad for you. But at the end of the day, if you didn't take care of Dak Prescott, what did you expect? It's called karma. That's what this is. It's karma. So, as a result of that, Greeny, the difference between Marcus Spears shades and mine, clearly mine's a flyer.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously more expensive. And here's the reason why. Because it exudes positivity and a winning mentality, which is something Cowboy folks know absolutely nothing about. Cowboy fans everywhere are absolutely miserable today. It's not about the Cowboys organization. I have nothing against them. Mm-hmm. I have nothing against Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones. My issue is with the Dallas Cowboy fans. They are miserable this morning, and nothing makes me happy. They make me sick. I'm nauseated by them constantly. I want to hear them say now, no, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year, right? I want to hear that. I want to hear that. But I suspect we will not. Floor is yours, Swagoo. How you doing, brother?
Swagoo?
How you doing?
See, there are defining moments on TV, and it seems like you two guys are always a part of it. And this is a defining moment. This moment is defining because there is absolutely nothing I can say back to Stephen A. to change any other narrative that's out there right now. Mm. And karma is a great word, Stephen A., because, you know, we talked about signing Dak and making sure he had a long-term deal. Right. We also talked about how much he made up for what the deficiencies were on this team. Right. Here's my only problem. Here's my only problem with what's happening this morning. We're supposed to be family. Oh. We're supposed to be family. Oh. And the way you entered this show and the way you talking to me, thank God I got these shades on right now, man. Because I promise, last night when I was watching this game, I wanted it to just go off. I know it was on ESPN, and I know a lot of people were watching it, and I know we love the ratings that come in from Monday Night Football, and Lou Riddick and Greasy and Levy and Lisa Salters and John Perry were doing a tremendous job talking about that game. But damn it, Lou Riddick had to resort to being positive about the things that could potentially happen in Dallas. And then Stephen A. come in today and does exactly what I expect him to do. He further sticks the needle into my back. He further sticks the knife into my back. And then has the audacity to bring up LSU, who, by the way, giving up 50 points a game as well. I have no place to go. I have nowhere to hide. G, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Wasn't Mookie Betts good the other night for the Dodgers?
I will tell you this, Greedy. I will tell you this. Somebody it's not just Swagoo. It's not just Swagoo who deserves to be ridiculed. Do you know what happened to me a couple of weeks ago? The Dallas Cowboys lost, and I was trolling them naturally.
Yes.
And when I did that, do you know who actually had the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to pick up the phone and call me and FaceTime me?
Ooh.
Damian Woody, because his wife wanted to get at me. Wanted to get at me. What? Those Cowboys. You'll wait, Steven. You'll see. You'll see. I didn't hear from the Woody family last night. I couldn't find them. I couldn't find them. Is the APB out for Mr. and Mrs. Woody? You understand what I'm saying? I couldn't find them. I couldn't find them. Swagoo, I give him credit. At least he showed up. I give him credit. But Damian Woody, who picked the Dallas Cowboys to win the Super Bowl last year, by the way. I mean, can you believe this? He can't believe it. It's unbelievable what happened. And I will say this. I think ESPN made a slight error. First of all, the Monday night team, I love it. Lewis Riddick and Brian Greasy and the crew. Please don't get me wrong. But I got to say this. You want ratings? You put me in the Monday night booth when the Cowboys are playing on Monday night football. That's what you do. You understand what I'm saying? Because they're going to mess up so bad. it's a struggle to find something good to say. So what you have to do is go in the opposite direction. You gotta troll them during the game. This is what you do. Now, Lewis Riddick, I mean, handling his business any other Monday night game. But when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football, trust you me, there's a black cat running around somewhere. It's gonna show up. And when it does, hey, sometimes it throws people off. You gotta be able, you can't talk about the Cowboys positively. You gotta troll them the entire Monday night.
Marcus?
You see America? You see America? This is what I gotta go through. This is what I gotta go through for supporting the team. Even though I hadn't picked them to win the Super Bowl since I've been on this damn network, I gotta deal with this man who you expect to be friends, who you expect today,
you're my boy,
any
you're
day
my brother,
about the Dallas Cowboys,
my brother,
to come in here and have some type of sympathy and empathy for what just happened last night, just for me, not for the Cowboys.
Are you accusing me of being cruel?
You are absolutely cruel.
Never that.
You are cruel. G got the Jets, he understand what I'm going through.
No.
But Stephen A. Smith, I'm going to tell you this, man. I fight this battle I've been fighting. It's almost like the color purple. I kill him dead before I let him beat me. And you beat me right now, and I cannot do anything about it. There is nothing I can say. The whole damn offensive line gone. Andy Dalton, everybody talking about hand the ball off to Zeke. He fumbles twice. The defense hold up two possessions, and then they commence to give up 38 points. Kyler Murray won the game, threw for 188 yards, and threw 9 passes. Ain't nothing I can say. America, what
I got
y'all
a resolution. I got a cure for you.
What y'all want me to say?
I got a cure for you. Are you ready for the cure?
You could have my glasses to exchange those cheap glasses you got on. You could use these.
This is as good as it gets. Marcus, hang on. Stephen A., thank you. You are the best. He's 20 minutes away.
Did you have no friends in his life?
Marcus is coming
up first. So I got more for him. Grady.
You're not going to want to miss
friends.
That.
Don't
They're
ever
20
think
minutes
you got
away.
Friends in this
Much
lifetime,
more of this
people.
As we go. But we have more to do here before we get there. Again, first take coming up in 20 minutes. Between now and then, Baker Mayfield, not exactly cooking for Cleveland. We're fired up about that.
Why would you even bring him up? He's got more progressive commercials than Wynn.
And then we'll talk about the Cowboys and my plan for how we should shake up the playoffs. Don't miss it. We continue in a moment. Stephen A. is feeling good on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and we're commercial free for the next 15 minutes, and that's when First Take takes over. Stephen A. was just here. You know where he's going this morning, and Marcus will join him over there as well. That's 15 minutes away. First Take after we wrap up Get Up. Again, we're with you commercial free until then. Meanwhile, I'll also remind you, Sunday on ABC, our MLS coverage continues with El Tráfico. LAFC taking on the LA Galaxy. That's Sunday, 3:30 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. All right, bring back Swagoo. What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You're my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
Oh, we're having a lot of fun. At least I'm having a lot of fun today. Marcus, maybe not quite as much. But here we go. Swagoo says he will interpret the things people say. The Chicago Bears are off to a 5-1 start. They're not winning a lot of style points along the way. Here's what their quarterback Nick Foles had to say about that.
Would you rather lose pretty or win ugly? I think that we'd rather win ugly. I think that's the common thing. So I think it tells you a lot about our team. Is this who we are offensively? We want to improve. We want to get better. We want to have rhythm. But ultimately in the NFL, it's about winning games. It doesn't matter how you do it. It just matters that you get it done.
That's what Nick Foles says. What does Swagoo say?
Gee, I got a lot of homeboys that when we used to go out and they'll meet a girl at the club at night when the lights were low, and then they'll meet them the next morning for some cup of coffee or breakfast and realize they were not the same person that they met last night. But they have a great personality and maybe they'll get on the hot streak and start putting some nice outfits together and make up a hit right in the light, and then they'll be pretty. But until then, you got to win ugly. So meet her at the club every night where you can't see her until she can get her A-game on. That's Nick Foles. Nick Foles is going to be ugly sometimes. It's going to look terrible. But every once in a while, when the lights come on, Nick Foles is going to be pretty, and it may last for 3 to 4 weeks.
And if it does, he gets hot. We've all seen what can happen there. Next one, Swagoo says, Aaron Rodgers threw his first two interceptions of the season, including a pick six, as the Bucs handed Green Bay their first loss of the season. Here's what Rodgers had to say after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I feel good about the team, Bill. Might need to add an extra finger to the scotch, but I do feel good about the team. And, you know, I think we need a kind of a kick in the ass a little bit as a little bit of a wake up to, you know, stop feeling ourselves so much and get back to the things that got us this position.
That's what Aaron Rodgers says. What does Swagoo say?
Gee, listen, I know this is a part of your, you know, your tax bracket. I don't know what the hell a finger, an extra finger, scotch mean, but I know what that yak is. And if I was Aaron Rodgers, I would have poured a little bit more of that yak after that game, because I have no idea how he felt after leaving out of Tampa Bay. And here's the other thing. When you're in a tax bracket, you probably do say a finger of scotch. But Aaron Rodgers and his boys need to go out and buy all the yak they can find in the store and get this thing fixed and get it right, because they got a good team. They just got to get a little more juice.
Yeah, that wasn't the finger that I was thinking they got that day in Tampa Bay, I'll tell you that much. All right, one more for you, Swagoo. The Baltimore Ravens are off to a 5-1 start. But on this show yesterday, Ryan Clark expressing some concern about what he's seeing from their offense. Here's what he said.
They have no consistency. They have no identity. And for a team who should have a distinct identity, allow Lamar Jackson to do what he's great at. Allow Lamar Jackson to be the focal point of the offense and build everything around him. Until this offense figures that out, until this team understands who they truly are and stops regressing as an offense, you can't even count them in the elite of the AFC.
Wow, so that was what Ryan Clark said. What does Swagoo say?
Oh, he's my brother and I love him, but we so psychological. They don't know who they are, and you need to make sure you have your identity, and they need to play better. This is a closet Pittsburgh Steelers alumni and fan coming out. Gee, Lamar Jackson is still the quarterback. He's still going to ball out, and they will continue to get better offensively. Everybody's worried about the Baltimore Ravens, and they just continue to win games. But all you heard there was a closet Pittsburgh Steelers alumni, former Super Bowl champion, trying to get all psychological about identity and who they are. Man, nobody won't hear that.
All right, I love that. I want to bring Jeff Saturday in, though, on that thought, because, Jeff, you were the one who on this show weeks ago was complaining about what you're seeing from the Ravens offense. What thoughts do you have today?
Well, it's been a bad day for my man Swagoo, so I'm not trying to pile on, but I'm going to pile on, because I'm going to say
you are.
I was right 3 weeks ago, and I'm going to continue to be right until they let my man Lamar Jackson run the rock and build the offense around a ground and pound mentality. You and I had this conversation about pocket passing for Lamar Jackson, all that kind of stuff. I love that. Let's go work on that in the offseason. When we're playing games, our best chance to win is keep the ball in that man's hands. You saw him rush for 100 yards last week. You saw him get outside the pockets on some rollouts because they're playing against a very good Philadelphia Eagles defensive line, and he made plays because he makes people uneasy when he's outside. Stop trying to transform. Be like everybody else, man. Be you. Do you. Be Baltimore, man. Go be physical and nasty. Your tight end is your best receiving option. That's never a good thing. Go run the rock. Swagoo, I'm your boy, so I'm going to take it easy on you today. I don't have any sunglasses, otherwise I'd bring them out too. But I'm telling you, Lamar needs to run the rock for this Ravens to get back in the top of the AFC class.
All right, I want to let Swagoo respond. But Marcus, I there's too many things you need to respond to today. I promised you I would get you back to the Baker Mayfield conversation, so I'm going to do that for you now.
Earlier we were talking about this. After Baker Mayfield had a very forgettable day against the Steelers on Sunday, 10 completions, 119 yards, two picks, got benched in a 38-7 loss to the Steelers. They're 4-2, but Baker Mayfield clearly has not been great this season. And Greg and Swagoo, you guys were disagreeing on this a little bit earlier in the program, so I wanted to give you a chance. Greg, again, recap, for if you will, for the folks who were not watching earlier, what you think you're seeing from Baker Mayfield right now.
Well, Baker Mayfield, guys, is still early in his NFL career, and Spears likes to go out on a limb and say he's terrible, he's not a top 20 quarterback. I agree, there's moments that are really bad. How about this? Two high safeties. Minkah Fitzpatrick spins down, cuts it off, robs. Look at the quarterback eyes. This ball's got to go outside. Another Beckham's wide open. You got to throw it outside. It's a terrible read. It's a terrible decision, and it turns into a horrendous play for the Cleveland Browns. How about this? Even worse. I love the escape, being able to avoid the first contact, but this is like throwing up a prayer, a jump shot, frankly, from the three-point line extended as time expires on the shot clock into a really loaded situation in the defensive secondary. I mean, this was an easy interception. So yes, there are two, three, and in some cases, four plays like that a game. However, there are also two, three, or four plays that are remarkably good, and a vast majority of the plays in between are quite solid as well. So yes, he's too high with the high and too low with the lows, but Spears, to suggest in year three he's not a top 20 quarterback, top 15 quarterback, that's ludicrous. The guy has a ceiling of a top 10 quarterback and can get there more days than not.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Are we talking about a ceiling for a guy that's been in the league this long that threw 21 interceptions last year? Was that somebody else? Was it somebody else that did that?
Oh, wait, hang on. So he's been in the league this long. What is he, year eight? Like, I mean, are we talking about a decade-long player? Like, the guy's been in the league just a couple years. Like, he's still learning how to play the position at the highest level.
Let me ask you a question. Since we want to make excuses, and I get it. Look. Do what you will. Do you think Baker Mayfield can take a team to the Super Bowl?
I think Baker Mayfield, if he learns how to limit mistakes, can absolutely lead a team to the Super Bowl. But he's got to understand. He can't be Brett Favre and turn the ball over the way he does. He has to understand his place within a run-first attack. And once he does, and he complements that run game, he can absolutely take a team deep into the playoffs.
Okay, it's nothing wrong with you being optimistic. Nothing wrong with that. Do what you will with Baker Mayfield. I'm going to go by what I've seen Baker Mayfield do, and Baker Mayfield is average to below average at quarterback. When the game has to be in his hands and he needs to win a game, like we've seen twice this season so far, and not just this season, last year as well, he has not gotten the job done. Now, go find me the tape where he done got the job done, and we can have a different conversation. But based on everything that I've seen, he hasn't. And how much time we want to give the first overall pick? Because we don't get that time to any other of the first picks of the draft. Find me the one we've made this amount of excuses for after watching what they've done on the field. I'm going to leave it alone. This can be all day.
My question to Dan Graziano will suggest what I think, which is that I agree candidly more with Marcus in this than I do with Greg. The backup quarterback there is Case Keenum. He had one great season as an NFL quarterback, and his offensive coordinator that year is now the head coach in Cleveland. Could you see a scenario where a change is made?
Yeah, but I think there would have to be continued poor play and losing. Right now they're 4-2. So my understanding is the new coaching staff likes Baker Mayfield, thinks it can win with him. He's got to get some things ironed out. There's no question about it. But he's in year three. He's on head coach number four. They're going to give him a little more time. The answer to Marcus's question, how much time does he get? It's this year, because next spring they have to decide on his fifth-year option for 2022, which is fully guaranteed under the new CBA if they exercise it.
Yes, we made that point at the beginning of the season. He's playing for his job right now, but that's a team that might be thinking bigger picture than that. Meanwhile, week six now behind us. Let's go through winners and losers. Greg, who was the biggest winner this weekend?
How can it not be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Not only do they now have the elusive victory over the Green Bay Packers, but the likelihood of them having to travel to Green Bay in January to play on the road in a playoff situation, for the most part, done. They have the head-to-head. So I am thrilled with what I'm seeing from Tom Brady and that defense. So Tampa Bay is the winner of the weekend.
Jeff, who is your biggest winner this week?
I'm going Tennessee Titans. Again, to come through, have to play on a short week, go against a division opponent, beat them in a comeback fashion. You're seeing the trust with this team and their head coach being Mike Vrabel. I mean, this thing is just beautiful. Derrick Henry, MVP candidate, if not the MVP of the league. Take away the quarterback stuff that we always talk about. This is a team to be reckoned with.
Marcus, how about the other side? Who's the biggest loser this week?
Gee, it's Kirk Cousins, man. Listen, this team, the money he's making, the Minnesota Vikings thought Kirk Cousins would come over from the Washington football team and make them a contender. And look, they've been in the playoff and made runs, and Kirk has made plays. Too inconsistent. And we see this year, now turning the football over. Minnesota was thought of being one of the better teams in the league. They are not even close because of their quarterback play.
Finally, Dan Graziano, biggest loser of the weekend.
Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, all the pressure is on this guy with Dak Prescott out, and he's literally dropping the ball to the point where they can't put their best player on the field because they don't know if he can hold on to the ball at a critical time of the game when the game was still in the balance. That's a tough one for Zeke last night.
Okay, and so there's that. And so let's take a quick look at the NFC East. After that loss last night, as bad as the Cowboys looked, woo-hoo, they remain in first place in the division. The Giants are one game out in the race in the NFC East. So this morning, I'm going to do an edition of Change My Mind because I'm a thinker. I think about things ahead of time. And like most geniuses, I won't be fully appreciated until long after my time. And so here is my genius. I understand that the winner of the NFC East is going to get into the playoffs. And I'm not even going to fight that. But I would like to add this little rule to the NFL. Jeff Saturday, I'm looking at you. If a team is below 500, that team does not get to host that playoff game. So if the winner of the NFC East is whatever it's going to be, which looks very likely to be less than 8-8, in my opinion, they should give them the playoff spot, but they should open on the road and play their games on the road. Jeff Saturday, change my mind.
Nah, listen, you know, when you start day one at every football organization, you talk about winning your division and winning division because that's the lion's share of your schedule. You go play these teams. You want to go have this. You want to dominate your division. I still like having – and listen, I'm one that had to pay the price. I had to go to San Diego to play the Chargers and lose on the road, you know, when I was 13-3. So I understand it, but I would still say – guys who win their division, get the home game, and stick with it as ugly as it has looked.
Disappointed with that. We don't have any more time, but raise your hand if you agree with me. Does anyone agree with me?
I agree with the smartest offensive line.
Okay, I got McElroy. I like it. You and me, McElroy. I'm taking you with me. Like most geniuses, I told you, I will not be fully appreciated until after my time. We'll talk about it more on the radio today. Marcus, our condolences. Hang in there, my friend. Day. He's going on First Take, and those guys start right now.